From WXXI News, I'm Matt DeTurk, Artistic Director of the Little Theater, filling in today for Evan Dawson, and this is Connections. In 1898, G.A. Smith pioneered the concept of a holiday film with the silent movie titled Santa Claus. The first of its kind to show the depiction of Santa running only just over a minute, it featured a depiction of Christmas Eve and amazing special effects for its time as the first holiday film ever as a movie. Last week, the film Red One opened, which also features Santa Claus and a lot of special effects. Dwayne Johnson fights mutant snowmen, while Chris Evans, Lucy Liu, and a giant polar bear attempt to rescue a kidnapped Santa Claus and save Christmas. So therefore, in every way that movies change, they also stay the same. And holiday films are absolutely a mainstay of our culture, not just in Hollywood, but in households and in people's lives. Over 100 new holiday films will be released this year alone between streaming, television, and theatrical. With all of these options, what makes people choose what holiday films to watch each year? What does a new film need to be in order to add it to your holiday rotation? And we'll also discuss a few of the films that are playing over the next month at local Rochester movie theaters. Joining me in studio to try to answer these questions today are Vanessa Cheeks, a Christmas queen, as well as co-founder and organizer of the Anomaly Film Festival. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for dubbing me the Christmas queen.
Kathy Kingsley, program coordinator at the University of Rochester English Department, mom and film superfan.
Hello.
And Dan Howell, organizer and man of many light bulbs of the Anomaly Film Festival.
It's true. So many light bulbs.
I think you have one in your pocket right now.
I was to say, but now are they Christmas light bulbs here today? Is that what's happening?
I mean, I didn't have time to dig them out.
Let's start with something very, very current. It is a week before Thanksgiving. Have you already watched a holiday film?
Yes. Wow. And I'm behind schedule.
What did you watch?
You know what it was. It was a Muppet Christmas Carol, let's be real.
That's what I start with every
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
It has it all.
It's a Christmas Carol, but with Muppets.
With
what
Muppets.
More do you want?
And a very serious Michael Caine.
He's perfect.
Yes, yes. And and I like to just keep it on in the background and then like put it on a loop.
Oh, so this is not just a once a year situation for you.
I've watched it in July before, okay? It's a favorite film.
Muppets are for all time.
For all time. For all time, every time. A good time, sad time.
I think I watched that movie at least half a dozen times during the holiday season. At least.
Yeah.
I watch it when I wrap presents, when I'm baking cookies.
Thank you. Kathy gets it.
It's a perfect film. And it has songs that slap.
Although, let's... Briefly,
I know what you're going to talk about.
The fact that they cut out the song in the middle is devastating, and this is why I have it on DVD, so I can watch the actual version of it.
I have my original VHS before they cut that song out. I was so confused the first time I saw it without that song. Where did it go?
Why is Rizzo crying? Why is he crying?
Not just crying.
Sobbing.
I absolutely love the idea that this literally just turns into a Muppet Christmas Carol episode. I mean, I'm so sorry to every other film that's
so
part
sorry.
Of this, but no, like, let's, we never apologize for
I
Muppet
know, not
discussion.
For the...
No, not at all.
That was my favorite. Yes.
Dan, have you
What other movie have you seen?
I have not watched any yet, but it's been a long, like, 2 weeks since we ran a film festival, and I've yet to actually watch a whole movie. Since so
that makes
she's been
sense.
In a coma. You're just sleeping. Yes.
And Kathy, anything?
Nothing yet. But it's on I've started planning again for my movie marathon. So
awesome.
It's things are in the works.
Perfect. I myself watched, as we were talking right before this started, I myself watched Hot Frosty on Netflix. I was curious and I feel like I don't regret the decision exactly in that case.
For research purposes.
Yeah, you know, like it's, but I feel like it's also a case of like, Watching it felt like watching what I've only seen a couple Hallmark movies, mm-hmm. which now is, of course, ubiquitous within the like Christmas movie space. I forget like the number off the top of my head, like literally what the number that they produce every year mm-hmm. is like something like 30 to 40, like which is crazy.
It's
to
crazy.
Me.
Yeah.
But it again was like that sense of like when watching a holiday film, I feel like there's that balance of like, what do you want in something new and interesting that you haven't seen before? And then I think specifically because of this time of year, there is that sense of like nostalgia, that warm glow of the mm-hmm. familiar. And I think that that's really interesting about like how much of this do you need something new? And how much of this do you need to be something that, oh, this is just different people with the exact same plot, and I'm just happy and comfortable in that case. Vanessa, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, like I struggle because I am the type of person, I will just watch the same movies repeatedly because I know what I like, and it's very difficult for me to like stray into something new, I guess. And specifically, Christmas movies are the same. Like I watch Muppet Christmas Carol, and I love While You Were Sleeping, and I love those older films because they like scratch that nostalgia itch. And so, but the Hallmark ones I like for different reasons. And this is public radio, so we won't really discuss what those reasons are. However, what I will say is they are nice because you don't have to think about them. I don't want necessarily to sit there and be glued to it because I love it. I want to like play it in the background while I'm making cookies and drinking wine, or just for like something to have on, or like you know what you're gonna get. It's a formula, and it's really not breaking the mold. But like, who is playing the hot Frosty, and like, are they gonna kiss? Like, that's what I want to know.
Will they? Won't they?
Will they? Won't they? Like, ooh, it's the Christmas magic. Like, that's what I like.
Kathy, how do you feel about like the fact about like, yeah, there's so much else going on at this time. Like, do you, especially as a mom with young kids, do you get a chance to just sit and watch, or is this more of just like adding to like the ambiance?
Mostly it's adding to the ambiance, but you know, once the kids go to bed, then I can watch what I want to watch. Like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, that's an after the kids go to bed movie. That's not a the kids are around kind of movie. But I've added a bunch recently, just taking suggestions from people. I will always watch something at least once. If I don't like it, I don't have to watch it again.
True.
So that's kind of where I come down on it.
Yeah, definitely. And Dan, any?
Yeah, you know, I find every year there's like a little bit less time to watch movies that I've seen dozens and dozens of times where it's like, oh yeah, we should watch this. And I'm like, oh, it's January. When did that happen? I guess... Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just watch it in January, which, listen, is a thing.
It's still snowing.
Watch it in June. It's fine.
See? And I
it
just
started early.
I'm clearly behind.
Yeah.
Or ahead, if you really think about it. If I'm starting in January.
Go the other way.
There are ones that, like, yeah, when we're, you know, decorating for Christmas, we'll put a movie on, even if we're not necessarily watching it. It's like, well, yeah, well, we should probably have a movie on, because why not? We've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah,
I don't have to watch it specifically for anything new. Probably already dissected it.
I'm a terrible rewatcher. Like it's just, I don't know, it's just who I am as a person and just kind of how my personal movie going and in my household like goes is that less things on in the background and more tends to be like, we are watching this. Like the phone is off, you know, like the lights are off, you know, situation. But that also means like when we talk about like what are people's like favorites or what do you mm-hmm. like love in that case, like I feel like that's for me, it's ended up with two things. One, it's something where I'm like, oh my God, I love that, but I haven't seen it in 10 years, sort of a situation. I know.
That's sick. What do you mean? How do you love something and then not go back to it?
I was actually thinking about this recently, that I end up in this space of like, I don't want to say I live in the mystery of it more, but like, it's a mix of like, goldfish memory and also that sense of like, oh, I love that. And like, I've been like, oh, I've been wanting to rewatch that for like 5 years. Like, which seems insane. Yeah, Vanessa's like, why would you delay this gratification? Like, why?
Yeah. Wait, so I'm so sorry because obviously you're the host and I'm not trying to like redirect the questions here. Do you like purchase these things on DVD?
So, we are a big physical media household.
Same. For the folks at home, a DVD is where they have the movie. You put it in the DVD. It's like a VHS, which Google it. It's fine. It's just off streaming. Okay. It's pre-streaming. Okay, so you purchase it because you like it, but then you don't like go back and rewatch it?
I do rewatch it. It just sometimes it can take years. Years, absolutely.
How many year cycles go between movie watchings?
So it depends in this case. Like, we're Home Alone is a movie that is screening this year at the Little Theater on December 14th. Home Alone might be my favorite Christmas movie. Like, I love it so much, but I feel like I definitely imprinted on it very hard. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when it first came out, and I was like, this has everything. Like, I get to like run around like crazy. And then it also has John Williams, you know, the same voice tone for John Williams, like everything. Like but I don't think I have watched Home Alone in God, I don't even know how long. Like, maybe since I've had Letterboxd. So, like, it's probably pushing, like, a decade at this point.
How do you repeat? So, again, I apologize. Yeah. So, I watched The Muppet Christmas Carol, and part of the fun for me is being, I'm outing myself right now, being able to, like, just repeat verbatim, like, talk with the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, how do you do that if you haven't watched it? How do you know what they're going to say?
And that's, I think that, P.S., this is perfectly on topic. So, okay. Thank you. No, this is great. No, because this is, like, this is that sense of, like, nostalgia and everything. Like, is, I don't know. For me, like, it's that sense of, like, there's always, like, moments where I'm like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that's still a really good line. Let's call it goldfish memory if we want, where I'm like, it's just new to me every time I'm watching it. Like, you know, but, like, but there is that sense of being, like, if I'm constantly being surprised and delighted by it in that case, then I feel like it's a situation where I'm also feeling like, oh, I still love this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... nostalgia, I think, is an extremely powerful drug. Listen, we all know.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things where I'm like, oh, I love this. And then you watch it and you're like, what have I done? But I think there's that sense of that. I am not questioning or like saying,
oh,
like,
no, I make no apologies.
No, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, perfect. No, that's the thing. Is that it's just technically who I am and just kind of how I watch stuff. I'm constantly churning through more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in my role at the Little, like constantly watching other things. So but even at like the holiday season, like not to change holidays, but like Halloween, like Trick or Treat is probably my favorite like Halloween movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think I've seen it since it came out more than like 4 times. You know what I mean? Like I it's something I don't end up watching every single year. I've blown Vanessa's mind.
This is fascinating. I'm kind of glad I'm on the other side of the studio right now.
I'm not. I'm just.
She's just confused.
I'm freaked out. I am confused. And it's not you, it's me. Because I think I've watched, again, not to switch holidays, I've watched the same Lord of the Rings trilogy so many times just for funsies. And the fact that you could watch something, say, oh my God, I love this, and then not go back to see it, it's blowing my mind.
Well, and especially at the holidays, there's something like for me, like you said, the nostalgia, but the familiarity of watching a movie over and over. It's kind of like that nice warm little sweater, that little hug that you need at the holidays. Like that's why I like rewatching things.
Yeah.
If I liked it. If I didn't like it, I'm not rewatching it.
Oh.
But if it's something that I really enjoyed, I'm going to go back and rewatch it. Maybe not every year, but certainly most years.
Yeah. And I think that's, again, like where like it's like it's with so much media now, it's like I think it's tough to like break into becoming a new tradition, and it takes things a long time to like become a new regular tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Just as part of that, we actually have a caller on line one who would actually, I think, like to speak about a recent holiday film.
Ooh.
Jingle Jangle.
Oh, Jingle Jangle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hello. Good. Yeah, this is
Is that Kevin?
Hey, with the Black Cinema series, partnered the Little Theater and Rochester Association of Black Journalists.
Hey,
and
Kevin.
Just want to mention about, hey, how are you doing, man? And we work a lot with Matt. Matt actually helped with this film selection. So, two thumbs up for Matt. Just want to mention with the film, Jingle Jangle that's going to be coming up on December 11th at 7 p.m. It's a rare chance to see a Christmas spectacle on the big screen, because this has been it's also going to be seen on Netflix. And I've seen the trailer for it, and we'll have information up on the little website. And the thing about the film, it stars Forrest Whitaker and Felicia Rashad is in it, and a lot of names that you'll know. And it's written by David Talbert, who's a really talented, it's written and directed by David Talbert, who's a talented filmmaker, and he's a graduate of an HBCU, Oregon State University. And the film about a toy inventor, the title character is played by Forrest Whitaker, and his former apprentice steals one of his invented toys, and that kind of drives the plot. And the inventor's granddaughter, who's really cute, I've seen her in the trailer, helps in the recovery. And it's a great family film, and we want to welcome everybody to come on out on December 11th to see the film. And we usually have a discussion afterwards, and you could just see the film and leave if you want, but we encourage you to stay for the talk back.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I think Jingle Jangle is that great example of the fact that, like, it's a film that it only came out 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It came out during the pandemic, so it was streaming on Netflix. But now this is its first time screening theatrically in Rochester. And I think Kevin, I'm so glad that you called in and brought this up, because, like, I think it's, again, one of those films that, like, people, and I don't mean this at people may not have heard of it, or it may have just been, like, autoplayed in the background on Netflix sort of a situation.
Right.
But I think it deserves to be seen big and gorgeous. Listen, it's not a surprise. We all know I'm a big fan of the theatrical experience. That's what we talked a lot about, like, you know, like home viewing. And home viewing, I think, is super important for a lot of different reasons. But, like, what I love about Jingle Jangle in this case is that it also it was nominated by fellow guild members of people who are, in effect, working within the industry. So other costume designers nominated it that year for best costume design.
Ooh,
like, hairstyling and visual effects.
And music, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's music, because it's a musical, too.
Oh. Yeah.
And I just wanted to add that, you know, when you think about African-Americans and holiday movies, you know, some of those classics that, you know, that go back. I mean, we weren't seen in a lot of those films. I mean, you take a Wonderful Life, but you've got Annie, the maid, and little comic relief in there, but you really don't, you know, you don't get to know that much about her. And so, you know, we've come a long way.
Absolutely. This is almost entirely a Black cast. And I am super, super excited to not only see it with an audience, but also to hear the discussion that the RABJ is putting on for this. So, thanks so much for calling, Kevin.
Yeah, and this is also part of the Little's Have Yourself a Merry Little series, and I think it kicks it off. I'm not sure.
Oh, it does.
You remember that? All right. Wow. We get to kick it off. So
absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, and enjoying your discussion.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care.
Jingle Jangle is actually on my short list of ones that has been suggested that I have not seen yet. So maybe I'll have to come on December 11th.
Yeah. And to Kevin's point, one of my favorite Christmas films is The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston.
Yes.
I think an all-Black cast, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a remake of The Bishop's Wife. I don't want to say it's better, but it is better because it has Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston in it.
I mean,
come on.
Yeah.
No. So highly recommend it if you're looking for, like, another strong Christmas or holiday film with a Black cast. That's one that I love.
Yeah. I want to pivot for a second to talk about, again, what are, like, most watched films. We've gone from something that maybe is a little underseen to now something that's, like, super, super watched. And Results of a survey from last year reported by USA Today say that Elf is the most watched holiday film. It was streamed over 9 million times between November 10th and December 10th, not even getting into like later into December. And because it's such a favorite, we do have a clip from it.
Wow.
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah!
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Because this has now become such a like ubiquitous like modern classic,
mm-hmm.
It is screening locally here four times. The Dryden Theater at the Georges Museum has it on November 29th and December 7th, and Rock Cinema has it on December 17th and also as part of a crafting night on December 22nd. So there are four times you can see that in a theater. But esteemed panel, how do you feel about Elf?
Stop looking at me. Look away. Go ask somebody else.
Yeah. I watched it for the first time, I think, 2 years ago. My brother-in-law insisted it was amazing. I had to see it. I'm not generally a Will Ferrell fan. It's no shade to anybody who likes him. Just not my brand. But I actually found this really charming, very silly. It's an enjoyable one to put on in the background for me. I can't say I watch it every year, but it's one that I've added kind of to my rotation.
Yeah. Dan?
That's fair. I feel like this is a perfect example of, like, I'm going to say newer film because, you know, it's 2 decades old. so definitely very new, very current. it catapulted to such a regular recurring film for the holidays very quickly. And I think a lot of that, I think, you know, leans into the cast. I mean, the cast is insane. And I will watch anything with Mary Steenburgen because she's Mary Steenburgen. I think when it first came out and I saw it, I was like, oh, well, it's kind of like a loud Christmas movie. But, you know, 20 years ago, I wasn't really the demographic for Elf. I've definitely grown to appreciate it from the standpoint that it looks at Christmas through the main character's eyes as being an amazing experience and wanting other people to see it and knowing that, oh, not everyone really loves this. And you kind of have to reel it in a little bit. But I do find it's very charming. It's very sweet. I think across the board, the performances are really good from kind of an insane cast. Yeah, it's one. I feel like this is one we try and watch every year. It's also my mom's favorite. So,
Aww, that's awesome.
You know. So,
I think we have Gloria in Canandaigua on the phone.
Three, 4 years. Favorite Christmas movie is The Man Who Created Christmas.
Invented.
I'm sorry, The Man Who Invented Christmas. And do you know that one?
I don't know that one.
It's wonderful. It's really, it is a story of how the Christmas Carol, you know, it's made up story, but it is good. It's how Charles Dickens' life intertwines with all the characters in the Christmas Carol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It has there's a lot of things that are happy. There's sadness. There's, you know, every emotion, and you know, it really feels very real. And the person who plays Scrooge is Christopher Plummer,
uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, it is a great, great movie. I wouldn't miss it at Christmas.
Awesome. I will have to add that to my list for this year.
You should. It's a good one. It's a good one. I agree.
Oh, you've seen it.
I've seen it, yes.
Yeah.
What's that guy? Daniel Stevens, is that his
name? Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens. Total babe. And it's actually just a good film. It was. I really like it. See, Gloria and I are on the same page. I really like the Christmas Carol. I like to listen to it every year as well on Spotify. And so any variation of it, I like to try to catch. And that was one that I really appreciated. It was a different lens of how the story came about.
Yeah, it is. And it really touches your heart in many, many ways. So, okay.
Gloria, I'm going to add that to my list. So thank you so much for the recommendation.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope you enjoy it. I bet you will.
Thank you. speaking of like other things that, again, like take kind of like a twist on a medium that already has existed. I also want to mention The Polar Express as a movie that, Kathy, I watched with you again during the pandemic.
That's right.
But that was my introduction to you doing a Christmas marathon. Like, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was an idea that was kind of born out of the pandemic. It was 2020, so we were all on lockdown. Nobody was going anywhere. I also had an 8-month-old at home, so I really wasn't going anywhere. So I'm like, you know what? I'm missing my Christmas movies. I'm missing all the holiday fun. Let's do a movie marathon. And because I am insane, I decided to come up with themed snacks for every single movie. I did 12 nights of this. I don't know what I was thinking.
Wow.
It was kind of crazy. And it just kind of came out of nowhere, like just something to do with all that pent up energy that I had. So I did 12 movies. I did 12 nights of snacks. The first year I was kind of just picking snacks at random and wasn't really thinking it through. So there were a lot of like very sugary things. So I was not feeling so great by the end of it. The second year I got a little smarter and I started preparing like, okay, we need an appetizer. We need a main dish. We need a dessert. We need a drink of some sort.
Vitamins.
Yes. Like just something. Nutrients. Something with carbs. Something that's not going to just be like sugar. It was a little too much sugar. But it was really fun. I loved doing like play on words and like we can argue whether or not Die Hard's a Christmas movie. I did watch it the second year.
We cannot argue that.
I did watch it for my second year. And one of my favorite recipes that I did was soft pretzels, Hans Gruber's soft pretzels with Yippie Cayenne spicy cheese dipping sauce.
That got real close.
I love it. I know it's public radio. I was prepared.
Yeah. I'm going to use that excuse, though, to mention that, like, Die Hard, again, I think is a movie that has so many amazing quotes, and it has so much, like, it's just, it's in pop culture constantly.
Yes.
So I actually would like to play my favorite quote from Die Hard on the radio.
McClane Brothers, Lucy McClane speaking.
Hello, Lucy McClane. This is your mother speaking.
That's it. That's
What?
In a million years, I would have never guessed that that was the clip we were going to play. But
what?
Also, I feel like I should have known that that was the clip.
Is this you telling me you don't like the film? What's happening right
I
now?
I love Die Hard. Die Hard's amazing.
I don't love it. Don't hate me.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. We are playing Die Hard at the Little on Saturday, December 21st. I am so excited about this because we are playing it because of a nonsense Twitter thread that spiraled out of control from our director of communications, Scott Pukas, where he and some other people in Rochester started joking about the concept that it really we needed more like food pairings, exactly as we talked about. Like, and he was like, Scott was like, we need it to be pie hard. And so I reached out to Crust Pie Company, and they are going to be on site, and they're going to be serving hand pies.
I love it. I'll be there.
Outstanding.
I'll be there.
To Die Hard.
Fantastic.
So this is our Die Hard screening that we're calling Pie Hard.
I'm here for it. I like it.
During the holidays, just for those haters out there, Kathy.
I don't hate it. No shame.
I'm not going to name any names, but her initials
are
Kathy Pinsley.
I love the idea that on a holiday movie connections episode is where we end up like coming to fists. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, this is the main throwdown.
But I also, in this case, since we're already on the topic of talking about what else the Little is playing as mm-hmm. part of our Have Yourself a Merry Little series in this case, and we've already mentioned the Polar Express, and we mentioned the Little in this case, I do want to mention that we, from an animation standpoint, we also are showing The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is on Saturday, December 7th as part of the Saturday Night Rewind series, and then on Sunday, December 15th as part of the Have Yourself a Merry Little series. It is on 35mm film both times.
Oh, wow.
So super excited. It's going to be like those really like rich inky blacks of the original. Yes. So it's going to be great. And then also, I want to mention that we also are showing Anastasia.
I saw that.
1997 animated film, 2D animated film from Don Bluth and Gary Goldman. And this is also screening on 35mm film. Anastasia is a movie that I feel like kind of comes into that question of like, what do you consider to be a Christmas movie?
I don't.
Or
it's got snow.
Movie?
I don't understand. Here's the thing. Love it. I'm super excited. Do they even talk about Christmas or is it just because it's cold?
It is cold and snowy in that case. But I think that raises the question of what do you consider to be a Christmas movie, which is, I think, an amazing tie-in now to we have Michael on the phone who wants to. Has, I think, a non-traditional choice.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Michael.
Die Hard earlier, and it was a couple of years ago that I first heard of the notion of Die Hard as a Christmas movie. And I guess on some level it makes sense, but it got me thinking that I think that the ultimate holiday movie is Rocky. It starts in the lead up to Thanksgiving. It moves through Christmas, and then it ends on New Year's Day. So it encapsulates all three.
Wow.
I'll take any comments off you.
You've got us all stunned.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I buy that.
I'm just the mind-blowing emoji at this
I'll
point.
I'll have to rewatch Rocky to really get a sense. I don't want to, like, commit to an answer now. I think that sometimes people consider, like, they just think then they can throw in anything. You know what I mean? And so this is why, you know, we're talking about Anastasia.
Listen, Scrooge, slow your roll.
Excuse me. I think I'm the I'm the least Scroogey person here. I'm just, you know, what is that word? Discerning. Yes.
Which is fair, because I always, you know. My one that always gets me is every year when they're like, Harry Potter is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's Christmas scene.
Exactly.
One.
But it's the vibes.
But I guess they're like candlelight and castles. And I'm like, well, right, but that's also like gothic film.
Yeah.
Those exactly. are all castles.
And
with
then the problem
candlelight.
Becomes, like, do you just watch the first one or do you get all the way to like the eighth one and like, that ain't Christmassy, babe?
I mean, it's not a Christmas series, that's for sure.
It sure ain't.
They
sure
briefly
ain't.
Touch on it in one film.
I think we're going to do more time to discuss this. So we're going to take a very short break and then we will come back. We'll have more with our guests, Vanessa Cheeks, Kathy Kingsley. Nope. Yep. And Dan Howell. Sorry, Kathy, you're so embedded in my mind in a different name. So sorry.
It's okay.
And as we unwrap more holiday films and what makes them so tinsel terrific and appealing, we'll be right back.
Coming up in our second hour. Ari Shapiro from NPR News joins us, alongside the great Alan Cumming. And they're not necessarily talking about Ari's journalism career, although we'll talk about that. No, we're talking about their new musical. Ari Shapiro from NPR with a musical with Alan Cumming. It's called Och and Oy, a considered cabaret. It's coming to Rochester. And they join us for the hour next hour.
And we're back talking about holiday movies here in the studio on Connections. I think we have Hoover on the phone, and I'd love to hear from you.
Hello. It's a good program. I'm loving it.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm a little bit older than some of the callers. So Christmas in the movies, it makes me think of things about family and love and missing people who aren't there. And I can tell you this before I even get into this movie, I got to tell you, my aunt bought a house after World War II on Alexander Street, and she, when I was a kid in the 50s, she used to walk me over to the Little because it was within walking distance. And as a little kid, she would take me to certain movies that were available at the Little. So that's how I know the Little as a child back from the 50s. And then I thought you'd like to know the history. And by the way, my wife and I are both contributors to WXXI and The Little, so we really respect the institutions in Rochester. But my favorite film has probably been said already. I didn't listen to the whole program. White Christmas, and I started watching it when I was away from Rochester, when I was away in Ohio at college in the late 60s, and I missed my big family. I had a big family. I had my dad and six uncles were in World War II, and that movie just touches me to this day. I watch it every season. My kids think I'm nuts, but my grandkids love it. And I sit and I watch it, and I think about my dad and my uncles who were away. They were all away for 2 to 3 years during World War II. And then when they came home and I was growing up in the 50s, they would tell us a little bit about not being home for Christmas. And it really touched an emotional chord in me. And to this day, I started with having it on videotape, and now I own a couple DVDs in case I lose one. But we sit down and watch it, you know, with a glass of wine and some cheese and crackers, and we just sit there and we think about, and all of these uncles are all passed away now, but I just think about them and my grandparents and what they went through during the war. And this film with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye and Rosemary Clooney and a few of the other actors we remember, they just make it so wonderful and emotional to watch that. And it's a feel-good film like there's no other around the holidays for me. So I just wanted to share that with your listeners. And, you know, this is a great program. Thank you for sharing all this, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing. Panel, do you guys have anything?
I'm mad at myself for not putting that on the list, because that's my husband's favorite. And we watch that pretty much every year. It's a great, as older films go, that is one of the classics, I think, at the holidays. You really can't go wrong.
Oh, yeah. We watch it every year. I mean, again, I will probably watch anything with Rosemary Clooney in it or Vera Ellen. So I'm an easy sell. but it's a very cozy, silly, fun, touching movie where, you know, I would love to be somewhere in the Northeast in a random, very small, going out of business resort that can also pull off extravagant musical numbers. Like,
extravagant. I mean, for the folks who haven't seen it, you're watching it like, what the production value.
Bonkers.
I don't know what the budget for this was. That's why they're going out of business.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, we put it all in on this
Maybe
one Christmas
special.
Maybe
put a new roof on instead of, like, breaking the showbiz. But it's such a good film. And I think, too, it's one of those ones where, like, the songs are, like, things that are ingrained in you. Every time I, like, my sister and I are joking around, I think in my head, sisters.
I mean, is that maybe the best song ever committed to film?
Possibly.
It's definitely top 10.
It's up there. It's up there. It's great.
Yes. Classic film.
I think that there's that sense about, as you were saying, about like family mm-hmm. and like coming together and thinking about, like, you know, that generationalness and how you like relate both to like those who came before in your family, and then also you as like in like a soul person and how you yourself relate to the holidays, and I think can be interesting and complicated. But I think there's that trying to strike that balance of like reverence and then striking out on your own. We at The Little actually have a new independent film that we're screening this year called Christmas Eve in Miller's Point. And we're going to have that on Friday, December 20th and Sunday, December 22nd, multiple showtimes each day. And we actually have a clip from that from the trailer.
It's more than a holiday. It's a gift for the whole family.
Salami sticks again this year, right?
A chance to come together.
It just makes no sense. You get me a gift and I throw it out.
It's just like capitalist propaganda.
And create lifelong memories.
It's coming!
For the Bolzano family.
Hi, Mom. Merry Christmas.
Ma is deteriorating and she needs around-the-clock care.
This may be their last Christmas Eve in Miller's Point.
Are you really thinking about selling the house?
So it's time to make this one count.
It's going to be a hell of a night. Hell of a night.
What I think is...
It's not funny.
It took a turn.
Yeah.
A roller coaster of emotions, yes. Just from a trailer.
Yes. And that's what... this is one of the other films that I've already watched this year. What I think is so interesting about this film, again, it's a brand new indie just hitting theaters, is that this is very much like a hangout film where it feels as if you're dropped into a family gathering, being a big Italian family on Long Island. You feel like you're part of it because this is a movie that is high on vibes and low on plot.
Ooh.
Great. You just kind of get all of those senses of like, what is the family? How are they cooking? What are these individual group conversations? But then also, as the night drags on, it's a situation of both as people are imbibing or getting tired, like, or the teenagers are going out into the town and leaving the family party. How does everyone like continue to relate to the holiday? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a really impressive, interesting film that kind of delves within that balance of like family and then also your sense of like, what does this still mean to you? And where is the like joy and where is the sadness? Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting, like cool film.
That's fascinating. I saw it posted that was happening and I was like, oh, interesting. And I was like, this seems like a really interesting Christmas film.
Yeah.
And it kind of struck me as a couple years ago, I saw Mixed Nuts for the first time, which it's a Nora Ephron film. And it's really, really bonkers, but like in a great way. And again, one of those where I'd never heard of it before, and it popped up on one of those, you know, Christmas movies you should see that aren't well known. And I was like, all right. And it's great because it's about a bunch of mixed nuts. not the candy, not the food, just people. You know, I think it popped out as a big one for us. Madeline Kahn was the big selling, but it's also got Steve Martin and Rita Wilson and Liev Schreiber and Jon Stewart.
Okay.
And like the cast again is crazy.
Yeah.
It's great, but again, it's a very non-traditional take on celebrating the holidays with non-traditional found families, which is great. So I'm excited to see a new version that follows similarly. That also seems even crazier.
It is crazy. And I think the trailer actually makes it sound more linear in its plot than it is, but the fact that it has so much music in the trailer is pretty much what the film is. It is nonstop, like needle drops of like holiday music, like start to finish. So, So
intriguing.
Speaking of non-traditional choices, and by that I mean a title that I don't know, Kathleen in Rochester has a suggestion, which is Dutch, starring Ed O'Neill, which
remember the name, but
I haven't seen it. No.
If I saw it, it was a long time ago. And
I don't think I've ever heard
pretty
of
fuzzy.
It.
Yeah, I don't know it either. So
we love Ed O'Neill, though.
This is true.
Yeah. Listen, sold, just not him being in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to continue. I'm just making a whole list, this whole program of like the films that I need to get back to this year and check out for the first time.
Yeah, get it together. Come on.
But on the topic of like complete classics, on the line we have Gary in Bloomfield.
Yes, I'm putting my two cents in for a very traditional movie. It's A Wonderful Life, and it's particularly relevant in these days when everything seems to be about money, 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 and that's a wonderful reflection on what life could be.
I agree.
Agreed. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my mom's favorite growing up, so we watched that every single year, and we still do. It's one that I feel very attached to, just because, like I said, I grew up watching it, and it does have that wonderful. It does have its sad moments, obviously, but it does have that kind of wonderful "what if," you know, I wasn't around, and how would life play out differently? And it makes you really reflect on the impact you can make. It has that feel good kind of vibe to it. So yeah, that's one I watch every single year.
And like a cult following. Everybody, I think, loves, or I don't want to say everybody, I want to speak for everybody, but a lot of people love that movie so much so that, like, it sparks. Isn't there, like, a festival?
There is, in
like,
Seneca Falls, because it's supposed to, that was supposedly what inspired the real Bedford Falls. I've been to that festival. They go all out for that thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I feel like this is that, again, that balance of, like, you can't have seen everything, and sometimes we all have those movie blind spots. I had never seen this until 3 years ago.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Somehow I went my entire life, because it's not like it was ever on television. but like I missed it, but I got a chance to see an original, or not original, I got a chance to see a 35 millimeter screening of it in Los Angeles at an old movie palace that wasn't normally open to the public. And I saw it on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And I was like, let's see how good this is. It was so good. Like, it stood up to all of the hype. Go figure. So, Gary, thank you for bringing it up. It was truly amazing. I also want to then ask our panel in this case, what is a movie that you haven't seen that, like, you think that you want to try to get to here in the near future? And everyone's like, no, we've seen everything. That's why you asked me.
I've gotten some suggestions over the years, and The Family Stone is one that I haven't seen yet that I've heard really, really good things about. So that's on my list to watch maybe this year.
Jen Sally, if you're listening here within WXXI, has been advocating to me that The Family Stone is the must watch I need to see. I've also never seen it. Great Michael Giacchino score, but haven't seen the rest of the film.
Yeah, I would say, like, we were in the lobby and we got that suggestion as well. The Family Stone is one that I have not seen that I always hear really great things about. And I think firmly, like, as much as Christmas movies should be, like, jovial and happy, they should also be spooky or dramatic as well. There's got to be, not in every film, but, like, I would like to see some films with ghosts and ghoulies, because that's traditional, and also just family drama. So I think The Family Stone is one that I'll have to get to this year.
Yeah. Dan, anything coming to mind?
I don't know. Like, that I've never seen or that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Or else you'd probably have seen it.
I mean, what else am I doing with my time? I'm just watching Christmas movies. I have a very, very easy schedule.
Christmas movies and vibes.
I don't know.
Have you seen while you were sleeping?
I have, yes.
God. How about make sure?
Klaus?
Klaus?
I love Klaus.
Oh, so good.
So much. Like,
it's criminally underrated, in my opinion. Yeah. I think Matt gave me that suggestion a couple years ago, and I watched it, and the animation is
so good.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
And the story is so unique and different. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Highly, highly recommend that one.
Yeah, if you've got paper cut animation, I'm probably sold. I'm probably sold.
Yeah, I think that animation, again, comes back to that sense of, like, what we like about holiday films is both the familiarity, but also that sense of something that's kind of pushing beyond our day-to-day sensibilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why there's so many musicals at the holidays. That's why there's so much animation at the holidays, is they give us that sense of heightened reality that we're not experiencing. At the Little, we also are showing Fleischer Holiday Shorts by the Fleischer Animation Studio. These are brand new restorations. It's a package of short films. We're showing that on Thursday, December 12th. Super cool. Not only is it, like, original 2D animation, but there's also some interesting elements where they were kind of animating on top of, like, some, like, live background. There's some really, really interesting things to it. It's super cool. We have a couple more suggestions that have come in. One is Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry.
Watched that a couple years ago.
Of course.
Yes.
Amazing.
Again, ghosts and ghoulies, babe.
That's ghosts and ghoulies.
Yeah, they do the ghosts real well in that.
And it's a
scary ghost stories.
When the golf ball pops out of his eye and the mouse comes out, gets me every time.
It's so good.
Yeah. And also, that was from Terry. And Annie on email also has said Rent, which starts and ends on Christmas Eve and is about caring for others.
Fair. Let's I can see that as a Christmas
movie.
I can see the argument. I buy it.
Okay.
I get it.
No, yes, again. I'll have to revisit.
The first line is about Christmas.
There's a lot going on in that film.
There is a lot going on in that film.
There's a lot going on in there.
this does, like, mention, like, Again, like, I think the fact that, like, what do we determine to be a Christmas film? I recently saw a mention that Gremlins may not be a Christmas movie because it's about monsters. Lee over email said, Matt, can we discuss Gremlins? Those adorable little creatures get really snacky at night and just turn the holidays into horror and hilarity. I don't think there's any question that Gremlins is a holiday movie, but I recently saw, like, that posed.
No, because, like, first off, Krampus.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. I think that sometimes people get distracted by, like, Frosty and, like, that cute little elf that wants to be a dentist.
Hermie.
And they're like, yeah, thank you. And elf in general. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, how cute and sweet. Christmas is about scary things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, it literally is about ghosts and ghouls. And so Gremlins, I think, fits right in.
100%. I mean, we haven't even touched on section in my notes that are just horror holiday films, because I mean Anna and the Apocalypse is a Christmas horror musical, so check.
Yeah.
It's great, as you said. Krampus, fantastic. The first year at the Anomaly Film Festival, when I was yet to be an organizer, and my husband still reminds me that I made him watch Deathcember.
Ooh, yes.
I feel like we could have easily done an entire another hour on this, but unfortunately we are out of time, but I hope to see all of you at the movies all around time, around town. I want to say thank you to Vanessa Cheeks, co-founder and organizer of the Anomaly Film Festival, Kathy Kingsley, program coordinator at the University of Rochester English Department, mom and film fan, and Dan Howell, organizer and man of many light bulbs at Anomaly, for joining us here today. Thank you. This has been a pleasure. Now I feel like we need to get milk and cookies together.
So. Yeah.
This has been Connections on WXXI. Thank you so much for all of our support.